Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. This weekend that was packed with a lot of, events, both at home and abroad. By abroad, I mean in the US, where it was packed with both events and a lot of punches. And literally blinding punches. Moral of the story, don't get in a boxing ring with a Gen Z. Now that we have that little bit of violence out of the way, let's move on to the next part of it. Seriously, don't get in a fight with the Gen Z. At least that's what I learned. Moral of the story. So while my colleagues and I were talking about that whole, boxing aspect of the events, that happened this weekend, my colleagues and I I actually ended up enlightening my colleagues that if we go out and you get in a fight, don't count on me. Because, well, for one, I don't have the muscles. For two, I'm, I'm slim. So I'm not designed for fighting. I'm designed for running. It's kind of, the very same thing that you see with, how do I put this? Mother Nature designed everything to suit its environment. Take, for example, black people are designed to withstand a large amount of direct sunlight, and white people were covered up with snow and basically, taken to Europe. And then, they started, overeating their resources, and so they had to invent sunscreen and then come back to motherland, the cradle of humanity, like they call it. That is one of those very common phrases coming out of the anthropological world, and I have no clue what it means, so just give me a break. So this is a comedy show, and don't take any of it serious. Now that we have that out of the way, moving on. So the way everything is designed to suit its environment. I, for example, you can see from the lack of muscles and height that I'm not designed for punching. So if we go out and you get in a fight, I will actually run because, well, my body is just slim and fit enough to run away from any fight. Now, for those of you that have muscles that are, although I know that a lot of you have muscles, the muscles you have are mostly for Instagram, not fighting. So even if you have a friend that is so buff and all muscular, I wouldn't count on them in a fight if I were you. Actually, I would just still count on my running. Look, nothing beats running. I mean, granted, you'd be called a coward and all that, but bottom line is, you'll not have a scar, you still have your 32 teeth, you'll still be able to pronounce words like seriously and sweetheart, in a very romantic way, like, instead of seriously and sweetheart, which is exactly what's going to happen to you if you get in a fight that will end up with your front teeth knocked out. Now that I have finished giving you that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful advice, let's see if we can get something out of what more like before I get to cooking LGBTQ, the World Bank, and Uganda. You guys made my weekend. I know everyone. Look, going out is just not my thing. So I spend a lot of time for basically sleeping, playing video games, and among other things. Some of them you wanna know, some of them you don't wanna know for the sake of your sanity. And nothing illegal, nothing moral, unless you are, one of the... And by the way, must be the winter. Must be the winter. And City of Windhoek and City of Windhoek. First of all, congratulations, for a lot of positive things that you have done, including, giving you, a few gigs that I've, turns out I'm very good at making some of you guys laugh. Some of you are just too angry. Now, the rest of you, it's City of Windhoek and the, hang on a second. I don't want to, I know it's not the procurement guys. There's one guys that is also, there's also a bunch of guys that are also, ECB, yeah. Yeah. ECB, Electricity Control Board. Yeah, City of Windhoek and Electricity Control Board. The question I ask on my poster for this morning is, which one of you is the Donald Trump that decided to come up with the increment of electricity tariff in the middle of winter? I mean, that's just a question I thought I would just, you know, toss, because, well, the cold front has just popped up, ruining a lot of things, including, well, I have a feeling it somewhere, somehow screwed up with my voice. Usually this is something that just happened when I did not get enough sleep. And believe me, I got enough sleep. I really wish I did not get enough sleep. But, well, I slept early because it's cold. And, well, I also had to sleep early because, well, sleeping alone, and it's kind of, you know, it takes a little longer to get warm if you are sleeping alone, but... You know, it would really have helped if, you know, someone's daughter was there. But then also that one has a dark side. You know, winter nights are too long. A lot of, you know, bundle of joys are born because mommy and daddy, you know, were having a little bit of a good warming each other during winter, the middle of the night, during those winter, long winter nights. They ran out of condoms, and then that's how you were born. No, we don't tell them that for the sake of their sanity. We just tell them that you are a wonderful bundle of joy. Very wonderful. We didn't plan for it, but I mean, we still love you. But, it was your father's terrible pull-out game. Moving on, before I get myself into trouble with Kren. Now, something that filthy actually is something that I do a lot on stage, because for one, I'm not allowed to do it here. So every time that I get a stage, it's just filthy talk after filthy talk after filthy talk, and it's very therapeutic. Look, for me, it is therapeutic. And my audience that, you know, go cracking after that. But moving on. Let's see what we have, in our print media for today. Let's start with, look, for those of you that are calling for the independence of the Caprivi Strip, Lukato made it clear that, I just won my seat, I just won my Kasmosmos seat there in Parliament. So, make you not count me in that all independence thing. Make I enjoy my seat. Make I enjoy my seat. Lukato distance NDP from Caprivi agenda. Nice. See, this is the man that understands that politics has nothing to do with anything else but interest. Look, and by the way, that's something that I will also, you know, that's something that I will also, gloss through to maybe not gloss through. Okay. Cover a little bit in detail in comparison to this glossing over. Something that I will also, touch on when I will be talking about World Bank Uganda and LGBTQ. There's something fascinating going on in that department. But, let's start with what is going on in this, our Republikash de Namibiano. And by the way, Angola national team still have a bone to pick with you guys. You guys are mean. Katima Mulilo, the president of the National Democratic Party, NDP, Martin Lukato, has distanced his party from the United Democratic, Party. It turns out, we have two political parties coming out of the Zambezi region. One is the, National Democratic Party, and the other is a United Democratic Party. Now, the one that won that Kasmosmos seat in Parliament, that one is National Democratic Party. That's the one for Lukato, you know. That's the one where the president now, Lukato, came out and decided to make it, in the words of, is that Sophia Shaningwa, categorically clear that his party has nothing to do with all the independence calling for that's going on. Because, well, look, even if I were him, with my Kasmosmos seat in Parliament that I struggled for 20 years, that guy, I mean, it took him 20 years, but for 20 years, and you're telling me I have to lose it, and to go and gain a PhD in tourism. No. I would still be like, make I make it categorically clear. Whatever you people have here, first of all, the guy behind this whole thing is in Denmark enjoying his snow. Now, as for me, Lukato, make I enjoy my own political snow, my own, you know, financials, no, there in parliament with a small seat, I would have said the exact same thing. Because, well, for those of us that are familiar with the works of guys like Henry Kissinger, not the one in Laos, that's just a terrible foreign policy of prioritizing money over anything else. Now, this is more like a point of view on politics. Like in politics, everything boils down to interest. If your interests are aligned, you are friends. If your interests are misaligned, even if you were friends yesterday or 5 minutes ago, you are going to become enemies as soon as your interests are misaligned. Now, all these points are boiling down to, I'm taking you guys on a joyride to where World Bank, LGBTQ, and Uganda. And you are. So that was Lukato Lukato making it categorically clear that, first of all, there's a difference between his party, National Democratic Party, and the one that's calling for the independence of the Kapirivi Strip, self-determination, blah, blah, whatever politically correct term is being used, the United Democratic Party. Now, Lukato is like, we're not gonna do this, so we're not gonna do this. Make I enjoy my small seat in parliament in peace, so make I enjoy my small seat in parliament. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Students allergic to an economic mother tongue. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll get to that later because I also have to introduce you to one of the book that kept me company, one of a book that kept me company during the weekend known as Braiding Sweetgrass. And it dives into like how colonialism really is still very, you know, it's still in existence today, you know, at least psychologically in a lot of, you know, in a lot of ways that we conduct ourselves. In the modern day, take for example, in terms of Namibia, 35 years after independence, we still have a lot of traces of colonial influence in a lot of things that we do on a daily basis, the way that we dress, the way we speak, the way we, you know, the way we eat, the way we conduct ourselves, at least socially, and, you know, spiritually and all this, it's all littered with colonial influence. And that's because, well, that's exactly what happens. During the quote unquote civilization of the Western world, especially the United States, there's something, okay, now the US came up with a bunch of white guys in the US came up with a very diabolical idea that, the best way to, they came up with something they called, kill the Indian in him? That's basically a way that they were saying that, how do you kill the Indianness in an Indian? It's sort of like, how do you kill the Africanness in an African so that he can basically fall for whatever, you know, garbage you feed him after that, both, culturally, spiritual, and literally food-wise. Now, that's when they came up with the ideas of, taking children from their parents, children of Indians from their parents and then putting them in white communities where they were given basically everything from education, culture, religion, and language in the Western, aka European way. Now, that was a very brilliant move if you look at it in terms of, killing someone's culture and, cultural identity and then, leaving them, as a vacuum for you to basically mold to your liking, both religiously, socially, culturally, and pretty much everything pertaining to their day-to-day life. And they didn't come up with that. Actually, the Germans came up with that in the 1700s when they invaded Poland. The first thing they came to realize, at least it was Prussia at the time, not German. So they came to realize that, first of all, it's kind of difficult to turn, the old aka adult Polish to bow down to their German overlords. So the best way to basically mold the entire Polish population at the time into their, you know, into their cultures and ways of life of their German overlords was to introduce education. Actually, literally, that's where standardized education, aka from grade to kindergarten to university, that's where it comes from. Unfortunately, but hey, well, you can debate on whether or not education is a bad thing. How to put this? Actually, school. So they start, so they implemented, you know, standardized education where they take, you know, where they took young people, aka, you know, I think the first standardized education was from, call it grade 1 to grade 8, but this was in the 1700s, so I don't know what they called it. So that's when a lot of, that's where a lot of Polish children were basically taken through that. First of all, they spent a lot of time at the quote-unquote school, so they didn't have time to learn about their culture, to learn about their tradition. So the Polish identity before the Prussian invasion at the time basically died off with time. So the method worked so effectively that the John D. Rockefeller guys and a bunch of other guys, there's one guy with whose name I actually totally forget. So they, you know, they noticed how effective it was. So they sent representatives to go and learn about that education system. They implemented that in the US, where we later adopted it, and we are now gaining PhDs in it. And we're like, excelente. But anyway, that's actually what went on. I think, in Africa, basically the entire colonial, you know, the entire, you know, colonial world, a lot of identities were changed culturally. To this day, we are communicating in English. Now, in the book titled, Braiding Sweetgrass, one thing the lady who has a PhD, I think, in botanics, she's an expert in plants. One thing she points out that, language shapes your point of view. You have, you know, like, she's exploring the influence of language on a psychological level. She's exploring the influence of language on a psychological level. Now, that caught my attention because of how, politics is being held today. It turns out, people don't die anymore, they pass away. Oh, come on, the dude is dead. He's not being buried, he's being laid to rest. Now, all this, obviously, we try to come up with these words, not because they are bad, but because we want to it's a way of brightening something that's actually dark. Because when someone dies, that's not something to be happy about. So to sort of like, look at it with positivity, we say, well, he's being laid to rest. And at this point, I'm thinking, hang on a second, is there heaven? Or we're just, you know, using that also to make people more comfortable about, you know, not worrying about death. But look, when it comes to death, I'm with Hamlet on this one. Anyone that is, didn't get laid enough in high school, and because, well, they were just socially awkward, therefore they decided to channel all their energy into reading, then you are familiar with one of the works of Shakespeare, Hamlet. This is a story about a guy who is actually, Hamlet basically tells a story of a guy who is contemplating on, you know, the points of life. I've come to realize that, poets actually have a way of questioning the existing, yeah, it's poets and philosophers. I came across some of the works of, also this weekend, leave me alone. Also, you know, some of the works of Alexander Pushkin, who is known as the father of Russian literature. Now, that guy also is wrote a story about a fictional character in the very same way that that Shakespeare is Shakespeare. Shakespeare wrote about about Hamlet. You know, contemplating, like, what's the point of life? But the to be or not to be, now very famous phrase, or more like quote, is coming out of Shakespeare's works. Now, One thing that he's asking, I think every time you want to talk to someone about suicide, please bring up Hamlet. Please, to be or not to be. Now, long story short, this Hamlet guy is asking himself one question. Now, to be or not to be, should you live life despite the fact that it's full of pain? Or should you just, take your own life, aka commit suicide, and then, so that you can rest? After all, well, death is just, sleep. And then he turns around and go like, okay, hang on a second. But if you look at ordinary sleeping, like the sleeping we just woke up from, and if you didn't wake up from that, sorry. Well, turns out it happens. But for those of you that woke up and you're listening, first of all, Spiritus Santo, amen. Second, this is where Hamlet is going. Okay, you know what? If I sleep in my bed and have nightmares and dreams, that's sending me a lot of mixed messages. How can I guarantee that in this sleep that I want to, go for, the permanent one, aka taking my own life, how am I, how can I be sure that what's awaiting for me on the other side is a very wonderful fantasy land type dream, or it's a nightmare? Now that raises a lot of questions. So if dying is just sleeping, what if this sleep of death is filled of nightmares instead of what we like to call, heaven type of fantasy and dream? So that's where he's going. You know what? I choose life. Because first of all, until I finally, until I know with absolute certainty that what's awaiting for me on the other side of this deep sleep, aka taking my own life, is a dream and not a nightmare, I would rather deal with the day-to-day struggle of life, because, at least I have, I have experience into navigating the day-to-day pains of life. If I take my own life and find out that on the other side, the other side is filled with, with nightmares, how the heck am I supposed to deal with that? After all, there is no reset button. There is no rewind button. I will be like showing up in a new country with new cultures, and now you have to play catch up. And if you find out that you actually made a terrible decision and the nightmares are never coming to an end, and then you realize that you now have to deal with nightmares that are worse than the day-to-day struggles of life, you can't come back. Uh-oh. So for that, Shakespeare, that was actually one of the fascinating, works coming out of the British world. Now, why am I rambling all about that? Well, it's because I am now looking at the Minister of Education. Now, students allergic to an economic mother tongue. There is no such thing as an economic mother tongue. Let me just start from there. And the article is about to agree with me from the look of things. Now, a perception that specializing in indigenous languages lacks economic value has been ingrained into the minds of most students. Now, this is I have no clue what to make of that. Now, this is one of the key reasons why students shun indigenous languages when pursuing careers in education. This was said by Cynthia Haihambo Yaoto, an associate professor in the Department of Applied Education Science at the University of Namibia. Many students and their families believe English offers greater opportunity for upward mobility. For upward mobility, Hayambo Yaoto said in an interview. Now, this is actually true. This perception on mother tongues is something that is true. A lot of people believe that if you pursue take up a career in your mother tongue, the opportunities that you have will be limited, or the ones that you'll have access to. And before you start, pointing all the fingers to students, they are actually right on this one, as much as we don't like to admit it. Medicine, education, teaching itself, and law, and pretty much every discipline every discipline you mention is conducted in English, so they are not wrong. So would you rather just would you rather specialize in your mother tongue and then have only, have this limited, because last time I checked, all the medical books, all the legal books that we use in our schools, especially in our tertiary, all the engineering books, all the mathematics books are written in English. So if you want a flexible, if you want a flexible career, it's not surprising that you have to do everything in English. Now, if you look at countries like India, for example, they have, their school is predominantly conducted in Hindi. And you have, China, for example, everything is in Mandarin. Maybe a little bit of Cantonese here and there. And then you have Japan has everything in Japanese. So that means you are looking at law, medicine, engineering, everything is conducted in Japanese. So even now, that's actually an excellent way of preserving your culture and language. Now, let's say we were to bring that in Namibia, which language would then be used translate all these in all these books that we use to pursue different disciplines in? And you realize that, then you now have a whole different, political debate going on there over which one is going to be the right one. Now, I don't know how the Chinese pulled it off, because last time I checked, China is not a monolith. It's a country of 1.4 billion people. Of course, there are different tribes. There are about Last time I checked, there are about 52 of them. They have over 50 different tribes. So, my tech is showing me that my sound is everything. It's all well here. Maybe it's just on the live stream. That's where I'll need an external mic. I can get one, but I'm not sure if there are going to be interference. I'll still have to run through IT. So, just a momento, if I may just go and commit murder, please.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal. fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM, the eye, 7 minutes past the hour of 10. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helms on Eagle FM, and it's a Monday morning. It's the 9th of June, 2025, and we are just having a good time here. At least I know I am. Reform archaic Dacha laws. That's just saying improve Dacha laws. Reform old Dacha laws. Our Namibian cannabis advocacy group have jointly submitted a legal and human rights based request for the urgent reform of cannabis laws in the country. Now, look, for me, when it comes to this whole Ganja Union of Namibia, I'm an advocate of, when it comes to, unions like this, I'm an advocate of just hemp. Just hemp, the none make you high type. Now, that's because, again, it's a very, very important part of textile raw material. If we wanna industrialize, we may wanna have to venture into things that are somewhat controversial, because first of all, no one in you'll have to be very desperate for you to smoke hemp, but maybe they can just mix it up with some chemicals. But the reason why this is obviously coming up is most likely because of the National Council Standing Committee on this whole hubbly bubbly discussion that Dwight and I covered last week. And first of all, let's just face it. When it comes to this whole hubbly bubbly discussion, the consumers are stuck between addiction and addiction, or you can call it addiction, having a good time. Now they're stuck in between. They're dealing with their own battle. The consumers. Now the leaders, on the other hand, are stuck between. Making it illegal to combat the addiction, the addiction epidemic, and then also like, what do we do with the economic contribution that this product is doing? Because it's a multi-million-dollar annually source of revenue. Now, for those of you that were listening to Home Run, with Helmut and Dwight on this subject, you know that that took me back to 2000. To the story that I've been reading about since, actually not since 2003. I was just full of Yongo. I didn't focus on anything that was politics. But that's as far back I was able to trace back. Now, Gambia is a country in Africa. Now, Gambia is known for one thing. Among other things that the country of the Gambia is known for is sex tourism. Now, this is where the Gambian government have always been stuck in between a rock and a hard place on whether or not they should illegalize sex tourism. First of all, how do you even police sex tourism? Because this is a lot of retirees coming out of Europe with a lot of money, and they are just flying to Africa just to get laid. Apparently, it happens. It turns out it happens. There's an economy out there. Now, when you look at it, and one of the go-to destination for the, you know, especially when it comes to the African continent. And by the way, this does not only happen in Africa. It's also a very, 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 very big problem for the, you know, for the government of the, is it the Philippines? Is that Vietnam or the Philippines? It's not the Philippines. It's not Vietnam. One of those, West Asian countries. Now, the Gambian government, back in 2019, now had to deal with a conundrum. Actually, this is something that they have been debating on since 2003. I think it could even be more earlier than that. I think they say, you know, it started gaining, you know, momentum back in 2003. And obviously, like at this point, it's just one of those reputations where a lot of retirees fly, you know, from all around the world to go to the Gambia just to get laid. I mean, you can imagine the mental health. I'm telling you. But anyway, the thing is, these retirees obviously are coming with a lot of money. They have been saving up their whole life just to come and have a little bit of some, you know, loosey-goosey somewhere on the African continent. Now, what happens and continues to happen is that the Gambian government now have a problem. They're actually stuck between a rock and hard place. Like, if they make sex tourism illegal by law, that will impact their their tourism industry negatively. And tourism is one of their main source of revenue as a country. Now, a lot of these retirees that are coming with a lot of money for this, for sex tourism, they are preying on young people. After all, they're the ones with full of energy for the said service that they are looking for. Man, I love my, just how, you know, how creative my mind can be when it comes to dealing with the dirty subjects. But anyway, this is now where they have now been dealing with a problem of, and also even if you make it illegal, if they make sex tourism, this is one of those problems that the Gambian government, not Zambia, Gambia is a whole different country. Now, one of those, problem that the Gambian government has been struggling with is, even if you take, for example, sit in parliament, argue the laws, and then make sex tourism illegal, how the heck do you police it without violating the privacy of your citizens? First of all, there is no tourist that comes at the airport and then you ask, what brings you to Namibia? Business or sex tourism? And they would just gladly go, you know what? Oh, I'm here to get laid. Absolutely not. They'd be like, well, I'm here for business. Now, actually, as an airport security or airport official, it's none of your business to ask them what type of business brings them to your country. Whether this is the type of, extractive industry business, fishing industry business, you know, NGO type of activities or getting laid type of activities. You have no right to ask those questions because that will be, well, you poking holes into someone's privacy. Now you see a problem. First of all, even if the Gambian government decided to pass a law that makes sex tourism illegal, it will be nearly, if not borderline impossible, to police. Unless you are just giving people, police officers the right to start barging into people's bedrooms and go like, oh, you're alone, right? Right, right. No, just checking. Nice underwear, by the way. The bra, on the other hand, I would have gone with pink. Oh dear. Now, anyway, so that's actually, the Gambia, the Gambian government is struggling with sex tourism on whether or not to make it illegal or not. Now, because it, on one hand, it's very embarrassing when it comes to the national identity, because no one wants their country to be known for, having one of the main sources of revenue for their country. Don't you just love this world? But anyway, the Namibian government have to deal with, somewhat similar situation where, whether or not, hubbly bubbly or basically all the new ways of consuming tobacco should be legalized or regulated. Just put in mind, illegalized or, or heavily regulated. Just put in mind that the National Cancer Standing Committee just wrote a series of recommendations. And one of those recommendations is banning the export. They didn't say, you know what, because of this report, we're just going to go ahead and tell you guys to ban it. And by the way, the way that this recommendation works is that, any institution that they are directed to, this recommendation can be adopted in part or in whole. In other words, they're allowed to change the recommendation. Say, you know what? We agree with this. We're going to adopt it. But this we don't agree. We're not going to. So before you start, calling National Council guys and start saying, you know, this guy on Eagle FM was telling that, told us that you guys are, are planning on banning hubbly bubbly. It was a recommendation. One of the, I think, over 10 recommendations that they provided. So, if you're going to call your National Council, guys to complain about that, first go on the National Assembly website, get the report, read through it. Or you can just go to the end and just get the report and read through it. One thing that our government also have to face is that, the long-term consequences of of putting anything in your lungs but oxygen are going to come. Popcorn lung disease in the next 5, 10 to 15 years are going to start popping up. You should expect that because a lot of ingredients, aldehyde or, I think there are two. There's one aldehyde and the other one that was used, I think in the 70s and 80s as as a butter flavoring chemical. And they had to ban it because it was causing a lot of lung issues in the popcorn movie theater type of industry. So now they decided to scratch their head and out of their infinite stupidity, they decided to bring it back. And now they're starting to use, it's a major source of flavoring chemical in a lot of e-cigarettes and vaping things, I think. Now, if we're going to say let's just go straight to banning it, we have to go now what do we do with the source of revenue that we are losing? That's another thing that we have to deal with. So whether or not we are going to sacrifice the future, the health of the kids, so that we can make revenue. I mean, it sounds diabolical, but this is why I like to be a comedian. I don't want to be in parliament and having to make a decision like that. First of all, I came across I found one of those articles on social media that talks about that report. And then I read through the comment section and a bunch of guys were saying, well, just leave us alone. It's our lungs. I'm like, man, this is why I like being a comedian, because I just got to read all this. It's our lungs. So he's not wrong. It's his lungs. Now, if we are going to go the direction of, just leave us alone, let us enjoy our hubbly because it's our lungs, then I think regulations will still have to come in, make it in the very same way against the law to smoke in, for example, in crowded areas. The fact that I made a decision to basically, put that stuff in my lungs does not mean that the person sitting next to me have made the same decision. So maybe they made a different decision. So, then it can just be something that you maybe just enjoy at your house and certain, alcoholic beverage establishments, the things you will do for money and to escape the pains of life, just to have a good time. Okay, you know what? I don't want to get fired. And moving on. Yeah, we've been through Lukato. We've been through the reforms of the... Now, what I see is we are most likely going to adopt some strict measures on how the, on how the tobacco-containing products good time having products like Hubbly Bubbly are Hubbly bubbly are consumed. Burning, I don't see that happening, because, I mean, have you seen how much this thing, you know, how much money this stuff makes your country? Like, a lot. A whole lot. I mean, it's like asking Americans to burn guns. They know that, well, every now and then, a deranged delinquent takes a gun and then go to school and start shooting their teachers. But, well, they make billions of dollars out of selling that stuff. Break a few eggs to make an omelette. Man, when you're talking about it, when you're talking about that, with regards to people's lives, it's diabolical. Really diabolical. I don't think Namco wants me, wants me. You see, this is one of my favorite stories coming out of Namco. And Namco at this point, I mean, you guys have gone radio silence. Like, you guys were that entity that was full of drama. You know, believe it or not, I have a whole script of my comedy show just on you guys. Now, but thank you very much for resurfacing. I don't think Namco wants me. Lunga. Now, this is one of those gentlemen with a very interesting story of, like to point out that if we are going to be corrupt, let's be corrupt like Imps Mlunga. Now, why am I saying that? Because homeboy here took millions of dollars without board permission and then invested it in the Angola-Namibia business deal. So what happened was, he took Namco's money, and then instead of going for a holiday destination and buying an iPhone with two SIM cards, he decided to go and invest the money on behalf of Namco. Like, what? Now, okay, first of all, if I had not read his name, I would have thought he was like a Vambo. It turns out he's a Vambo. I'm like, hang on a second. First of all, I'm sure a lot of Vambo guys are disappointed in you, man, because, well, usually when Vambos take money, it's usually to go and chop the money. You know, for a very long time, it was just a Vambo thing. And then Fish Rod came and, that was a dangerous, mixed combination. You know, we're looking at a lot of different tribes mixed. And then also, here's the thing. Homeboy here. This guy, his story is still one of my favorite to this day. Because it was a special type of stealing money. At this point, I read the whole story. I was like, oh man, seriously. Bambos, you all are growing soft on this whole corruption thing. No one steals money. And usually when people take money without permission, which is called stealing, they were supposed to, go to Iceland, a place where the sun doesn't set. They go to China and get themselves iPhones with two SIM cards, go to Germany, get themselves Mercedes-Benz with two engines, and, take their son-in-law to Japan, spoil them, you tell them, you take them to Japan and tell them, son-in-law, listen to me. You're married to my daughter. I have a wife at home, you have a wife, but what happens in Japan stays in Japan. Now, what's going to happen is, I will get me a Kamboroto or two, and I will get you some. And I'm getting you some for two reasons. One, I'm so proud you're married to my, actually three reasons. One, I'm so proud you're married to my daughter. You are the best son-in-law any father-in-law can ask for or could ask for. I have no idea. Now, I'm getting you, Kamboroto or two for three reasons. One, I'm proud of you. Two, because we are here to have a good time. Three, so that, you don't snitch on me. All a guy wants is have a father-in-law like that. I mean, a father-in-law who will take you from time to time and, help you cheat on his daughter. Jesus.
Father-in-law of the year, gentlemen. Father-in-law of the year. But, so, back to NAMCO. Now, former National Petroleum Corporation of Namibia, aka NAMCO, managing director Ims Mulunga says the company has not contacted him following his victory in an unfair dismissal case against it. Managing director. It turns out Homeboy won the case won the case after the ruling passed by arbitrator Moses Mazambo in the labor court on Friday. Now, they have not reached out. It was just Friday, dude. Just breathe. Hang in there. You're my favorite corrupt guy. Now, they have not reached out to me yet. Yeah. And you also like to interview people, just 5 minutes after they get, Oh, yay. Ooh. Okay. Just a few minutes, I'm going to take a commercial break. And when I come back on the other side, it's LGBTQ Uganda and the World Bank. Okay. I've been waiting the whole weekend to ramble about LGBTQ Uganda and the World Bank. The point I'm going to make here, gentlemen, is that whether you like the guy's foreign policy or statesmanship or not, Henry Kissinger was right. There is no such thing as friendship in politics. Absolutely nothing. Nada. In politics, it's all about interest. If we have our interest, if we have the same interest, we are friends. But if, take for example, come the next day or two and we are, we don't have the same interest, we stop being friends. That's how politics, it turns out, have been operating for a very long time. Even, the quote, there are no permanent friends or permanent enemies in politics, but only permanent interest. It's attributed to mostly Henry Kissinger, who is American statesman, and a bunch of British European guy. But that adage comes from, about what, like 3000 BC India. That's how old it is. So the lady that wrote that, like the original Indian version, not the stolen and adopted American and British version. Now, the lady was a political genius. And by the way, this is in 3000 BC, about 3300, one of those BC, India, a very long time ago. It turns out at that time, India had female politicians. That's interesting. And you want to lecture India on human rights? Oh, come on, seriously, dude. And the gender equality. It turns out, a lot of things have changed, like culturally, like, believe me, a lot. Now, when you look at it, one of the reasons why I believe there are no permanent friends or permanent enemies, but only permanent interest in politics is because of the, of the three characters that I'm about to introduce to you. After the commercial break, that's the World Bank, LGBTQ, and Uganda. Yoweri Museveni. Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. Now that's an African man. There's no baptismal name or Christian name, whatever the heck you wanna call it, somewhere in between there. It's Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. African. Now that's a real African dude. Yeah, just decided, John? Yeah, you keep that. I'll just stick with, And then you have those of us here that are like, my name is Junior. And by the way, please, forget the hubbly, forget the dark half, forget the crime, forget all this. Here's the thing. Namibian government, please, put a moratorium on the name Junior. Let's just pass a law today that makes it illegal for any couple to name their child Junior, for the love of God, please find a different name. How many juniors do we have in this country? Jeez. Commercial break. Sorry, juniors. And by the way, seriously, parents, please find a different name. Junior, really? You don't think we have abused that name now? Before I go for a break, we live in a very diverse world and we should be very culturally sensitive with others, people's culture. And that's because this weekend I found out that the main source of bologna ingredients, sausage ingredients, and milk in Mongolia is horse. Yeah, it turns out horse milk is a thing in Mongolia. If you find yourself visiting Mongolia, be sensitive about culture, and chances are very high in every shop you are going to walk into to buy sausage or polony or Venus, whatever equivalent of that they have that side, is going to have some degree of horse meat in it. Okay. At this point, I'm going. And believe me, there are videos out there of people milking a horse. And I'm like, you know what? If I ever find myself with a, with a Mongolian chick, I will tell her, sweetheart, the horses where I come from, believe me, you do not want to touch them anywhere down there because, they will kung fu you behind. Because I don't know, I think it all comes down to taming. I think the horses in that region, they are, they use them for that specific purpose. So they breed them and also train them for that. 0832888400. Thank you very much. Saki Justice Akwenda. Frequency. Oh, yeah. I've been having that a problem for a while. Not just in Ndangwa, though. It's just the whole country. Now, for the, just for the meantime, please use the app. Oh, dear. Now, it turns out even, horse meat and milk dominates a large part of, of the diet of the people that live in a lot of, in the parts of modern day Mongolia. I was like, okay, so this was nice to know before I visit, before I get punched in the face for being culturally insensitive. Now, this is actually why I like to say that, when it comes to culture and religion, the only one that makes sense is the one that you are exposed to at an early age. Because, it's very easy to say, horse, what? Yikes! But just put in mind, if you were born and raised in that part of the world, you'd be saying, cow milk? How the hell do you even do that? How the heck do you even do that? A cow, that's you, but milk is awesome. Now, this is where I... this is where I have come to learn that when it comes to culture, when it comes to traditional religion, the one that you are exposed to at an early age makes sense. Anything else outside of that stops making sense. I know. It's really interesting. It's really interesting. So when I leave the Kavango region to go to the north, I'm like, hang on a second. You'll eat dogs? Yikes! And then they visit my region and are like, crocodiles? What? You're welcome. And then, you go further south. It's like, donkey? Why? But look, on the bright side, you don't have to worry about finding human meat on a plate, right? Because now that's a line I'm not crossing. That's a line I'm never crossing. I'm not giving it a shot. Plus, You know, scientists that visited Papua New Guinea in the 1950s discovered that the natives, known as the four tribe in that part of the world back in the 1950s, they were suffering from some types of mobility impairment type of condition known as kuru. Now, kuru, after a series of scientific, more like research, they discovered that it was emanating from, from a type of protein known as prions. These prions are said to be contained in a human flesh, that when you eat human flesh for an extended period of time, you are going to end up with prions, and it will start attacking your brains and basically turn it into a sponge. Now, a sponge, and that's not just a very good thing. And obviously, a part of your brain that's attacked first, I think, is one that's in control of your mobility, which is why the kuru disease, the first sign of the victim of the kuru disease that was observed was of mobility impairment. Now, it was also discovered that a lot of people that suffered from from the kuru disease were mostly women and children. And that was not surprised once the scientists also learned that women and children. Now, the four tribe had a tradition and had a belief that when a person dies, the demon they leave behind lingers around in society unless it's tamed. Now, the best way they said to tame this demon from coming back and haunting others was to take the brain of the dearly departed and then, throw in some spice and fry it a little bit and then give it to, women and children, because it was believed that women are the ones who were powerful enough to tame the demon. And now it did not go well for those poor women. So there is actually no cure for that disease. Like, there is nothing, nada. Because, all the microorganisms that cause disease have some sort of DNA. It turns out prions don't. So that's a whole culture. So now we don't have to, at least I would like to believe that I don't have to worry about visiting any culture and finding, human feet on a plate. And we're like, yeah, you should try it. No, absolutely not. How shame I that I'm not going to be the next guy on that plate. I'm running the heck out of them. Let's take a commercial break and then we'll come back on the other side and make some cooking of the Republic of Uganda, a World Bank, and LGBTQ. Fasten a seatbelt.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA, and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities, and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Aneria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-2341-86.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apidi.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
And welcome back. We have 19 minutes left to the hour of 11. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed. on Eagle FM. Now, let's dive in to the next, the last part of our discussion. Well, in 2022, it was reported that Uganda says exploration results shows it has 31 million tons of gold ore. 2022, right? Let's give it another break. And, well, it was reported, and then everyone went like bananas. Like, oh my God, Uganda is rich. Well, look, Africa is rich. I mean, isn't that the reason why you guys colonized the heck out of us? Because, well, you did not have, well, the resources at your own. Oxford Gold Group. Okay, now those are the, obviously the, you know, the colonizer guys. According to Oxford Gold Group. Yeah. And my tech is taking forever. Now, moving on. Here we are. Oxford Gold Group is a company that has faced significant controversy and allegation of misconduct. The company claimed to specialize in converting traditional precious metals offered to, for sale and, you know, into some kind of a precious blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so we are not going to use those ones. Let's stick to Reuters. You know, Uganda on Wednesday, this was back in 2022, Uganda on Wednesday said a recent exploration survey have shown it has a gold ore deposits about 31 million tons and it's and it wants to attract big investors to develop the sector, you know, the sector dominated by small wildcat miners. That's a terrible move, if you ask me. I would just, well, empower those small wildcat miners to, I don't know, because I can control them, I can regulate them, but a bunch of multinational companies HQ'd in Switzerland, you think you have laws strong enough to regulate those guys? Good luck with that. Now, that was in 2022. And then, well, come to, you know, in, now, back in 2021, obviously a lot of investors were interested in Uganda. I mean, who doesn't like gold? You know, you can bet the US even made plans of bringing them a democracy. But, well, since, well, that, you know, that trick is now, everyone can now see through that crap of quote-unquote democracy when they usually just, they're just going there to steal resources. It has nothing to do with democracy. It has nothing to do with human rights. It has nothing to do with women's rights. It has nothing to do with LGBTQ rights. Guys, politicians will use excuses like women's rights, children's rights, you know, LGBTQ rights to steal resources. Everything that all the wars that have been fought on this planet have been on resources under a lot of reasons. A bunch of royal houses or royal families or royal, royal imperialist guys in Europe scoured the whole world to steal resources in the name of God, backed by the Vatican, by the way. And by the way, Vatican guys, I'll just keep throwing you guys under the, I'll just keep throwing you guys under the bus. Because, well, both the Portuguese and the Spanish expansion was blessed by the Vatican with the doctrines of discovery. Those Saracens, you can look up the names, what it means yourself. You know, those savages, by the way, a document coming out of a religious institution used the word savages. As long as you were not a Catholic at the time, it doesn't matter. I know that more often when we have this conversation, we, you know, it quickly goes to, you know, to race. You have to understand that, well, the US, the United States was founded by a bunch of Protestant reformers that were running away from, well, the guys that told them, well, unless you're Catholic, you're not a human being. And by the way, they just wanted to steal a resource. It had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with Saint Peter. Nothing to do with heaven. It had everything to do with resources. Why do you think they are loaded now? They are rich now because, well, they stole everything in the name of God. And by the way, they are not the first ones. The Ottomans did the exact same thing. Everything, they spread a lot of chaos in the name of Muhammad. You see, this is why when it comes to religion, I respect people that practice a religion on a lower level. But the guys that are on top of power are, yeah, get out of here. Because those are the guys that are everything wrong with religion. You have people that are practicing Islam on the ground level. Those are the people that are practicing religion of Islam. And you have Christians that are practicing Christianity on a lower level. Those are the people that are in it for religion. The people that are, it's like the higher up the ladder of power in a, not just a religion, but also politics that you climb, the more selfish you become. So you begin to do a lot of things in the name of, quote unquote, God, but you're just there to serve your own interest. That's actually why, that's my biggest problem with religion. Not religion itself. The people that are entrusted with running religious institutions, those are the biggest idiots under the sun, because they have just basically ruined everything. Because everything boils down to how much money I'm making. So, after the discovery, tons of gold in Uganda, obviously, Museveni, you know, was still Museveni. He decided, you know what, I'm going to make laws for my country. Well, I mean, how you are going to view these laws and criticize, that's on you, but I'll still pass the laws anyway. Just understand that they recently passed one where they are still under criticism again by the international community, where they said, well, it's now going to be legally okay in the country to, to prosecute civilians. Civilians in military courts, which everyone that have picked up a law book will tell you it's a bad idea. And actually, you don't have to pick up a law book. All you just have to do is understand how the military operate, and you know what a terrible idea that is. We have tried to use the military here in Namibia to do police work. We ended up with shooting after shooting after shooting, because the military is just trained for exactly that, to kill, not police. Who came up with the idea is beyond me. Now, the World Bank said it will not consider new loans for Uganda after the East African country earlier this year enacted an anti-gay bill that rights groups and other have condemned. Now, the World Bank has, now this was, this is in 2023. In 2022, the gold discovery discussion starts to come out of Uganda. And 2023, the World Bank, Uganda passes and what is being labeled as an anti-gay bill. And Seven is like, nah. That's just me making laws. Although you have to understand, Museveni is a president. He's part of the executive branch. At least in an ideal democratic society. And we know Homeboy has been criticized of not being democratic enough. But then which leader will not be criticized? Really, like really. That's just me. Now, anyway, the World Bank had deployed a team to Uganda after the law was enacted in May and determined that additional measures were necessary to ensure projects aligned with the bank's environment and social standards. No new public financing for Uganda will be presented to our board of executive directors until the efficacy of the additional measures has been tested, the World Bank Group said in a statement. Our goal is to protect sexual and gender minorities from discrimination and inclusion in the projects we finance. These measures are currently under discussion with the authorities. It added, now, that's the World Bank. That's the World Bank. And, well, a few moments later, World Bank U-turn ends loan ban to Uganda over gay rights. Now, this is 3 days ago. The World Bank says it is lifting a ban on loans to Uganda that it had put in place 2 years ago when the country passed a draconian law against LGBTQ people. In 2023, Uganda voted in some Uganda voted in some of the world's harshest anti-sexual anti-homosexual legislations, measuring meaning that anybody engaging in certain same-sex acts can be sentenced to death. Since then, hundreds of people have been evicted from their homes, subject to violence or arrest, because of their, you know, sexuality, according to Uganda's Human Rights Awareness and Promotion Forum. But the World Bank says it is confident that new mitigation measures will allow it to roll out funding in such a way that does not harm, discriminate against. Look, first of all, you have to understand, whether you, you know, why do you think wherever you look, it's contradictions? I mean, it's just more like, you know, it's just one contradiction after another that we're going to run into. It's Christians against Muslims, against that, against that, against that. It's black people against white people. It's men versus women. It's adults versus children. Children, it's, it's Semites against non-Semites. By the way, it has nothing to do with whether you are Jewish or not. It has nothing to do whether you are gay or not. It has nothing to do with a man or woman. It's all about divide and conquer. You can't rule people that are united. If you want to rule a bunch of idiots, first of all, divide them. And it has been working all throughout history. The best way to rule a bunch of people is divide them. Everyone will think that Christians are all one monolith. No, they're not. They are Protestant. And then you have a bunch of guys that believe in miracles. They are those ones that don't believe in miracles. Or some, you know, well, believe in God but don't go to church. Some go to church more than they go to work. Now, all these things, it's about what? The best way to rule a group of people is divide them. Easy. Why do you think a bunch of Africans to this day still fight over which border lines are the right ones? Because the Berlin Conference really did a number on us. That's how we, that's how we became Namibians, and that's how we became, you know, Zimbabweans versus South Africans, Angolans versus, you know, Angolans versus Namibians on a football pitch. You guys are still mean. All these things all comes down to control. So, now, one thing that you can see here is that, oh, by the way, this is a very interesting time for the World Bank to sort of like say, you know what? We are going to be, still be friends with Uganda. Now, I'm not a political analyst. I'm just saying if they were not happy with the anti-gay bill, which last time I checked is still in force, Uganda just added on an extra, I will prosecute civilians in military courts. And the World Bank is like, nah, I think we're still our friends. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is, as long as interest is on the line, people at the top of political and economic, political and economic food chain don't really care about a lot of things that we think they care about. If you're LGBTQ and you're lying to yourself, well, I mean, you know, well, protection, human rights, well, fine, sure, go with that. But the reality is, politics is about interest. If politicians are siding with you today, it's because there's some type of interest they are getting out of you. As long as that interest is depleted, you become an enemy. You have to understand that two of the most famous families in the, two of the most famous names in, in the quote unquote terrorist world are Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. Now, what are these two names called? And by the way, Osama bin Laden is a household name. Like, that guy is, I had no idea he's from a very rich family. Why was he rich? Is because, well, his family has a very cozy ties with the Western guys, aka the Bush, you know, the Bush, aka like as in the George Bush guys. And, where did Osama bin Laden go to school? Yeah. You see, when you look at it from, you know, when you look at it from the angle of interest, you will begin to realize that, whatever lie you are telling yourself, whether it's a black versus white thing, whether it's versus men versus women thing, you know what, and by the way, the divide and conquer has always worked. The divide and conquer has always worked. Like, I swear it has always worked. Everyone knows that, the best way to ruin a society is take control of women. That's the best way to ruin a society. Take control of women. Naturally, this is something that, you know, this is something that Dave Chappelle said once on his show. And he started with a statement that I'm going to start with, that we are going to disagree on this. But from my point of view, the best way to control men is through women. And then he goes on to say that men don't like anything that women does not like. Then he goes on to say, then he pushes it. I mean, knowing Dave Chappelle, he's just pushing the line of political correctness here. Then he says, men don't like sports cars. No. Women like sports cars because sports cars, men like sports cars because sports cars get them women. Men like yachts, champagne and parties because, well, champagne, yachts and parties gets them women. So if you want to control a bunch of women, if you want to control a bunch of men, take charge of the decisions that women make. Then you're going to control them. It works. Now, why am I siding with with Dave Chappelle's point of view on that? It's, well, it's simple. How many times have we said, oh my God, ever since he got married, he's not giving us money anymore. It's just his wife that is just, I think she witched him. No, she didn't. It's just how we are wired. It turns out, God created men and he was like, you know what? I'm going to make one heck of a remote control for them. Then he created women. Which is why, one of my favorite meme coming out of social media is, it's very difficult to, you know, it's very difficult to convince your relatives to accept a woman who doesn't know how to cook or clean, but she's good in bed. First of all, you can't tell your uncles that, uncle, I know she doesn't know how to cook or clean, but in bed, this madam here is a problem. She's a machine, pure machine, oh, this one, a perfect candidate. Well, now, the best way you can go and explain that to your relatives is, you people don't know this girl. I know she doesn't know how to clean, and I know she doesn't know how to cook. But hey, you people don't know this girl. Now, so, for those uncles and aunties out there, if you run into a guy that has bringing home a girl that doesn't know how to cook or clean, but he's still sticking to him, give homeboy a break. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's getting into. If he's spending thousands of dollars on restaurants to eat and feeling the economic and financial pain, but does not want to break up with her, leave homeboy alone. He knows what he's getting into. He knows what is worth sacrificing for. Leave homeboy alone. So, when you look at Dave Chappelle's point of view on society, you can easily understand that, the best way to control men is to take charge, more like, spend billions of dollars, literally, on decisions made by women. Because when it comes to decisions made by women, men, we just tag along. Look, you have to understand, it's an evolutionary thing, or creation, whichever you want to go with. Now, our species literally depends on it. The continuation of depends on it. So, in every, I think that's where we now have funny phrases like, happy wife, happy life. All that it's coming out of where? Now, and also one thing that, one thing that a lot of people, especially women, listen to me. One thing you people don't know is that, every guy, I know we have lied to ourselves that, men are simple, we just have one identity. Oh no, we have different identities. When we are with you, oh boy, that's when we are using all these pet names, sweetheart, huggy bear. Don't ever call him that in front of his homies. Because in front of his homies, he's this muscular guy, tough guy who's in charge of everything. But as soon as the homies are out, oh, he's your firstborn. First of all, he's gonna leave his socks anywhere and, everywhere. And now it will be your job to babysit that idiot. Hey, wifey. Nice coat. Now, 2 minutes into Sizo Masalicho. Now, I have to go. Now, I was just, educating my listeners and viewers here that if you want to control men, control women.
If you want to control men, control women.
Yep. Most now this is I just used the example that Dave Chappelle said used at one of his shows that
I love Dave Chappelle
that men like sports cars because it helps them get women. Men like yachts, champagnes and parties because it helps them get women. There is not a single straight guy out there that will throw a party just full of a bunch of champagne and guys. No. Whoa. Like, why?
It's true.
It's only a party if you have some, some bikinis around you. I mean, that's a heck of a party.
It's true.
Now, and also, just picture this. When you are buying some of those fancy bottles in your drinking more like, clubs, who is bringing you that beer, that bottle?
When you are doing what?
When you buy a fancy bottle in a in a club. Man. Yeah.
It's a hot mama.
Thank you. You see?
It's a hot mama.
Psychologically, mm-hmm. We are very easy to control by your gender.
You guys are. Yep. I've noticed, especially when it comes to a woman you are into.
Oh, dear Lord.
A woman you are into, like, naturally.
Yeah.
She can control you. Like a steering wheel.
So, believe me, there is natural muti in all of you. And
yeah, there is.
Uh-huh.
One person called it, what? There's a caller on Sizuma who called it magic. Yeah, that's what he called it. He said, women have magic. And I asked him, what do you mean we have magic? He was like, there's just this thing, that just completely captures male's brain, mind. It doesn't function. We were talking about this story in Zambezi that happened in Zambezi. I don't know if you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Of a lady who was dangling, by a Bucky, a Ford Ranger. So their fight is that the Ford Ranger belongs to the lady.
Oh.
But the man is saying he bought it. But the Ford Ranger is in the names of the lady. You understand?
That ownership is very clear there.
Exactly. So my advice was that men must just stop buying things for girlfriends. Just stop it. Why are you buying a whole car for a girlfriend and letting her put it in her name? The least you can do is put it in your name. So at least you have guarantee. No, honestly speaking. So at least you have guarantee that if the relationships comes to an end, you walk away with your car.
Okay. This is something, again, one American comedian, Robin Williams, pointed out. Yeah. That one thing you have to understand that men are God created men with, two heads. But not enough blood to run both of them at the same time. Now, when you have, you know, when you are, you have all your clothes on, we are thinking with the head or above the shoulder. Now that head makes all the right decisions. But as soon as you have that, you have take, for example, a lingerie on, the head above the shoulder goes in hibernation mode. And the head downstairs takes over. That head have never made a good decision. Not for King Solomon, not for Father Abraham, for King David.
Actually, for nobody at all. Nobody. And it's amazing how the head down low with you guys just like completely takes over.
Yeah.
It's like it does not even give warning or anything. It just takes over and then decisions are made by it. It's crazy.
Yeah. People's husbands are going for babysitters because of that head. 6 minutes past the hour. 6 minutes past the hour of 11. And, look, believe me, just take the Bible. Believe me when I tell you that head have never made a good decision for anyone.
Nothing, zero at all.
That's why I'm saying.
Not for Simpson.
Nobody.
That's why I'm saying that the head downstairs has a mouth downstairs to talk to.
Yeah. And the communication always ends with, honey, I missed my period. And my first question is, how'd that happen? Believe me, I have no clue. And, you know, it may be a surprise to you, but, yeah. Now, you are asking the head upstairs, which was not involved in the decision making.
Like, how did that happen? Like,
yeah. Well, how is that possible? How is that possible?
I think that was one of my worst fears, right? Getting pregnant and telling the person responsible and they are questioning me.
Yeah, they're saying, well, how is that possible?
Like, is it mine? I don't think it's mine. Like, what do you mean?
Okay, guys, can you get that?
All right, it's 8 minutes past the hour of Sizuma Salicho. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on Eagle FM. Y'all have a good one. So, guys, we are not broken. We are just, you know, we are wired like that. We're wired to respond to the twins in a very positive. Okay, bye-bye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apidi kwa mavchaziva. Mwere kisema app atolokasi nchavu kamso. Zakale liferire mise kunani zencha kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zalivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe muvone maikuto amancha a imba ep mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye mwine tuna mwikole sfera fama kepe marizo hola mina hamuvone imba encha niencha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilini kukopanya naha nikuhasa nyali njira mlimu Zengwi, Zef Mani Hamas Fera Sesfa Ep ya imba, Ize Tatama, Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaimuriro, Catholic, Smane Kakarunga, Africans, Nizengwi Zengata. Muluri Zeze Kachenu, Haiva Mtavira Kulisfera Sakereke Yamina, Si Ekezwe Fam Koloko Walifera za imba, Fa 081-2358-063, Kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalighty.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu. Mukona kuifumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.